Welcome to the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles 2013. And brethren, we have the opportunity to do things that no one else in all the history of the Church of God have the opportunity to do, because we have all of the knowledge of the Bible that God has given us to understand, so that we know that we are going to rule and reign with Christ. And we are going to have a tremendous job ahead of us. Now let's understand something very important concerning ruling and reigning with Christ. Let's come back to Revelation 19, because this will help us understand what we need to do, what we need to prepare for, and to also realize that we will be operating under and with Jesus Christ, as well as with all the saints who are in the first resurrection. Now let's come to Revelation 19, and let's see something about Jesus Christ. We're going to work with him. We have the greatest jobs coming. We have the greatest goals to reach, and we are going to be under Christ those who help him save the world. Now we look at the world today and it's in great upheaval, great turmoil, just exactly as Jesus said in Matthew 24, roars and wars and rumors of wars and upheavals and revolutions, deception, and all of those things are going on. But we, unknown to the world even yet, are preparing to take over the world. While Satan the devil is out there trying to muster everything in the world to fight Christ, so he will continue to rule the world. But God alone is the one who is going to save us from that. God alone is the one who is going to put Satan down and put all of his forces to shame. Now, after everything is accomplished for the first resurrection on the sea of glass, we're all organized, we all know what we are to do, we come down from the sea of glass with Jesus Christ. Now, notice what it says here concerning us. It talks about Jesus Christ here, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. There must come an end to the rule of Satan the devil, the demons, and men. It's been prophesied throughout the Bible, and God is preparing a people. That is us. Now, don't think you're unworthy, because by and of ourselves, none of us are worthy. Our worthiness comes through Jesus Christ. And notice the power that he is going to have. Verse 12, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knows except him. Now, that's the special name between him and God the Father. He has other names that we do know. So let's read on. And he was clothed with a garment dipped in blood, because this is the vengeance of God upon this world for all the blood shed from the time of Abel until the last battle at Armageddon. And that is because Babylon the Great is the one who is responsible for it all. And his name is the Word of God. That ties in with Old Testament, New Testament. How many times have you read in the Old Testament the Word of God came to Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel and said, say this, say that? Okay. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing came into existence that he didn't cause to come into existence. Now, those two verses in John 1:1 just tells you absolutely everything you need to know about the abilities of men to do the things of God. They can not do them. Regardless of all the things that they can do, they are limited. Now notice, here we are, verse 14. And the armies in heaven were following him on white horses, and they were clothed with fine linen, white and pure, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations, and he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fury and wrath of the Almighty God. Now notice verse 16, because this tells us how we are going to function in working under Christ, right here. And on his garment and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are going to be the kings, we're going to be the priests, we're going to be the rulers, we're going to be the teachers. All right, let's come here to chapter 20. And let's again review what it says about us and what we are going to do. Now, after Satan is put away, and always remember this, wherever there is strife and turmoil and confusion, that is from carnal nature for human beings and Satan the devil spiritually, because God is not the author of confusion. And here we are, ready now to take over the rulership of this world, to unseat all of those men who are ruling the world, controlling the nations. Every aspect of human life is going to be changed and structured on the kingdom of God. Christ is the King. All of those of us who are in the first resurrection with our various assignments are going to be kings and priests. Now let's see what it tells us here, because this is important. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, so we're going to have thrones. That is chairs of authority. Now we know that Jesus said to the 12 apostles when they said, well, hey, we've given up everything, what is there for us? And he said, that you will be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now David will be over them, and Christ will be over him. So there's going to be the structure that is going to work, and we're going to see the basis on how to do it. But first we need to understand that God is going to give us the authority to do it, and we will be able to work things in the way that is going to, for the first time in the history of the world, bring real peace, real understanding. People will know why they're here, why they were born, what is their destiny, where are they going. They're going to be taught fantastic things which we will teach them. Because, see, brethren, after the resurrection, we're going to continue learning. We're going to be taught by Jesus Christ even more things than we know now. Saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. So we're going to be kings, we're going to be priests, we're going to be judges, we're going to be rulers, we're going to be teachers. All right? Let's see it here. And I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who did not worship the beast or his image and did not receive the mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, to reign means to rule. Now, let's come, since we're here in the book of Revelation, let's come back here to Revelation, the 4th chapter. And let's see something that shows all rule comes from God. Now there is this heavenly realm, and right at God's throne, there are the 24 elders that God created to help him administer the whole universe. Now notice what they do. Okay? All power comes from God. We're not going to be kings and priests out here operating separately from God, separately from his purpose, separately from his word, or anything like that. Now let's pick it up here in verse 8 of Revelation 4. And each of the four living creatures had six wings respectively. Around and within they were full of eyes, and day and night they ceased not saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. And when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanksgiving to him who sits on the throne, who lives into the ages of eternity. Notice what they do. And we will be doing the same thing. The 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne, and they worshiped him who lives into the ages of eternity, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are you, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, because you did create all things, and for your will they were created and exist. It's not something. That's why we're here. God has created each one of us and has called each one of us for a fantastic and tremendous purpose. And after the work that is done on the earth, when we come to the last great day, we will see that it goes to the ages of eternity beyond. And what is that going to be like? So you see, that's why. Never think of the Church of God as a religion. Now some people and some ministers do, and they miss the whole point. We are being called to be educated and trained through the Word of God, through the ministry that God has given, but through God's Spirit directly to us. And we all have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ directly, because our job is going to be so important that we need the Spirit of God to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to help us in all of these things. That is fantastic. And as you see the world going the way that it is, we need to keep this in mind, and it all comes from Christ. Just like Paul wrote that in God we all live and move and have our being, that is true. But also, as spirit beings, everything that we do will be living and moving and coming from God to carry out his will. All right? Now let's take a look. Come here to Luke, the fourth chapter. Let's take a look at what Jesus said, that his mission as Messiah and coming King would be toward people. Now, that is to deliver us from Satan the devil. But notice the condition that Satan leaves a lot of people in. Now, after he was given the scroll of the book of Isaiah, here in Luke, the fourth chapter, when he went into the synagogue in Nazareth and announced that he was the Messiah, here's what he said, verse 18. Now, notice, even Christ acknowledged that he could do nothing from himself, and it all came from God. And when he was talking about what he was to do, how did he start out here in verse 18? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's like us, everything we do, led by the Spirit of God, taught by God the Father through the Spirit, understanding the Word of God through God's inspiration that he gives, because this is all God breathed, everything in the Bible for our instruction, so that we can be fully equipped and ready to rule the world after we get our final education on the sea of glass before we return back to the earth after the first resurrection. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has anointed the apostles to preach the gospel and go into the whole world and we have come from that down through the centuries. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to proclaim pardon to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth in deliverance those who have been crushed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this was taken from Isaiah 61. And so when we go back to Isaiah 61, let's go back there and read what it says. Because, you see, we are also going to execute the vengeance of God in the areas of the world that will not submit. They are going to submit to the power of God, Isaiah 61, because Christ at that time is going to execute power and vengeance against men, as we have seen in Revelation 16, 17, 18, and 19, to put down all evil, to get rid of Satan the devil and all the demons. And I think that even at the resurrection, do you know what? We're going to be amazed at how really, really deceived this whole world is. Now, here is where he was quoting from when he read this in Luke, the fourth chapter. Verse 1, Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now, I want you to stop and think again what this world is going to be like when we start our work. The earth is going to be in shambles, desolation, confusion, destruction upon destruction upon destruction, and only the power and Spirit of God to begin to clean up the world, and the flowing of the water from under the throne of Christ that goes to the east and the west sea to begin to cleanse the world. Because remember, one of the plagues of the seven last plagues was that all the oceans would be turned to blood. Only God can clean it up. Only God can heal these people, because this will be their condition. See, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And as we saw yesterday, beginning with Israel, to appoint to those who mourn in Zion, giving to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And so this is all going to be to the glory of God. Now stop and think about it. All of us have seen some of the pictures of what have happened in wartime in Nazi Germany and later in the Soviet Union, where they would run everyone off in train cars to slave camps and starve them and burn them and kill them. And those poor, pitiful human beings, that's what the world is going to be like when we take over. So just think of what we're going to be able to do. Just think how great and marvelous that is going to be. Then we'll start the reconstruction of the world the way God wants it done. Now remember, when Jesus was in the flesh, what was he? Well, you might call him a building contractor, not just a carpenter. A building contractor. And what are we going to do under his supervision? Rebuild the whole world. That's going to be something. All right? Now, let's continue on here. Let's come to Psalm, the second chapter. Psalm, the second chapter, because Christ is going to return, put his feet on the Mount of Olives, raise up Zion, settle in Jerusalem, And all of those who will be with Christ and work in Jerusalem and the areas around there, that's where we're going to live. Isn't that something? And all of us who will be out there serving the other people, the other countries, first beginning with the 12 tribes of Israel, then all the nations of the world, until the whole earth has come under the governance of the kingdom of God. Now, let's come to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, this is one of the prophecies. Now, when you go through the book of Psalms, do this. Read and study them. Think about all the things that apply to Christ. Then think about all the things that apply to the ultimate goal of ruling the world. And put all of those together as you read it. So this is why Christ has to return. Notice what it's going to result in. Once man really gets up there and thinks that he really is nearly godlike. Verse 1, Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't need God. Look at what we can do, how great we are. But what they're doing is just building it up for utter destruction. Notice how God looks at it. Verse 4. Compared to the power of God who created the heavens and the earth, who commanded that the stars be formed, and they were created. And then look down here on earth and see all the things that men are doing. Verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them because their day is coming. And we are going to complete that. And we are going to take away their rulership and their right that Satan the devil gave them to rule this world. And it's going to be taken back to God. All right. Verse 5. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and in his fury. He terrifies them. Yea, I have set my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Yes, indeed. That's where it's going to be. This is fantastic. Now, since we're in Psalm, let's come to Psalm 99. And let's put this together and ask the question as we go along, how are we going to prepare for what we have just described that we're going to be doing to rule the world? See, we're in training now. Think about this. Everything in our lives today, whether it's a trial, whether it's a blessing, whether it's a difficulty, whatever it is, all of those things are preparation to become kings and priests and judges and rulers and teachers in the kingdom of God. Everything. So there isn't going to be any difficulty, any problem, anything that is going to take away from succeeding in that, because God is with us and we have the Spirit of God to do it. All right. Psalm 99, verse 1, the Lord reigns. That's going to be the message. When we're sent out to the other countries of the world, we're going to say, the Lord reigns in Jerusalem. You want to know about God? Well, we'll tell you, and then we're going to have you go on up to Jerusalem and learn the truth. And there you will understand that when you come back here, we are going to run the government. We are going to establish what God wants. Now, if you want to be on God's side, then you repent and yield to God, and the blessings will flow, and peace will come, and prosperity will follow. All right? Verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people, because it all comes down from him. Let them praise your name as great and awesome. Holy is he. The strength of the king also loves justice. Now we're going to bring judgment and justice. You established righteousness. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. That's where it starts, and then for the whole world. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. All right, now let's look at something. Let's come to a proverb, which is really a fantastic little proverb. Proverb 20 and verse 28. Now this is the overarching format that tells us how we prepare. Now let's read it here. Verse 28. Oh, we can go back to verse 27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The whole everything concerning you. That's why we need God to teach us through his word, to guide us in all of our circumstances, so that these will be learning situations in preparation for the resurrection. Now notice verse 28. Here is the key. Love and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upheld by mercy. So it's going to be love, truth, mercy, forgiveness, grace, blessing, abundance, kindness, and teaching the way of God. Because what we will be doing is teaching all of the people in the millennium how they can enter into the kingdom of God and live forever. Because God's plan, when it's finally finished here on earth, is just the beginning for eternity. Now that, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. I cannot think of ages of eternity. And yet God has put it in our hearts that we would love to go into outer space. That we would just be absolutely, how shall I say, awed beyond description to be able to have the ability to travel into the heavens. But in order to do that, we have to live forever. And in order to do that, we have to love God and keep his commandments and do these things through all eternity. Love and truth preserve the king. And of course, that means builds him up. His throne is upheld by mercy. All right. Let's look. Let's come over here to Proverbs 18. No, sorry. Let's come to Deuteronomy 17. Let's see how that is going to be accomplished. Deuteronomy 17. Now, this applies to kings. This applies to priests. This applies to judges. Deuteronomy 17. Because there is one thing that we need to remember. Remember what Jesus told the disciples. And this was after the mother of James and John came to Jesus and said, Lord, I have a favor to ask of you. What is that? That these, my two sons, one may sit at your right hand and one may sit at your left hand. Nothing like being a little bold and planning out a little family planning here, eh? And then Jesus said, you know, you really can't do that because that's for the ones that have been reserved by the Father. But nevertheless, you're still going to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, okay? Then he called the other 10 who were angry at James and John. Look, hey, they're getting the inside track and their mom is right up there, you know, how shall we say, lobbying the Lord. And we don't want them to get to top positions. So what Jesus said, he said, you know how the kings of the earth operate? By lording over them And the great ones, the religious leaders, have authority over them. But he said, it shall not be this way among you, but let the one who serves, let him serve all. And so that's what Jesus did. Now, seeing that all the kingship will be under Christ, let's see the instructions here that God gave to the children of Israel. So when after they came in the land and wanted a king, here would be the instructions. And when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, now think of this in terms of us coming in to rulership of the world as we read it. And shall possess it, and shall live in it, and shall say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around us. So Christ is going to set us as kings, as priests, as judges, as teachers, etc. And then it says, you shall only set one from among your brethren, not to multiply horses, etc., nor wives. Now here's the key, verse 18. And it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book that which is in the custody of the priest, the Levites. He was to study the word of God. Now, this is what we've been given to do. Now we have all of it. We have far more than any of the kings of Israel could have, you see. And the truth of it is that only a very few really did that. Now, verse 19, and it shall be with him. The word of God was to be with him and guide him in everything that he did. And he shall read it all the days of his life. Now, we're going to constantly be taught and understand the word of God and more of it through all eternity. So think of that. So if there's authority given to a human being because he did this, and blessings and abundance to him, think of what will be given to us if we not only do it now, but also after we are spirit beings, to grow, to develop, to be ready for the great, great, great plan of God of the new heavens and the new earth. See, brethren, what God has called us to is so awesome and so great. Let's go on. So that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, so that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. Now, what happened to Lucifer? Okay? The dawn of the morning star. He got lifted up. He got lifted up over the responsibility that God gave him. And he said, I will become like God, when his destined that angels never could. And iniquity was found in him. And so this is something we can all learn. We're not to be lifted up above his brethren, and that he does not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left hand, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. Quite a thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now, let's ask the question here. Let's see some more Proverbs concerning how a king is to run things. We saw that his throne is preserved by love and truth, and we're going to administer love and truth. Let's come to the book of Proverbs again. Let's come to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. So this is going to be really something, all right? Now let's pick it up here beginning in verse 4. Proverbs 25 and verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the refiner. We're already going to be tried and purified, etc., and at the resurrection. Take away the wicked from before the king. See, as kings and priests and leaders and rulers, we're going to make sure that the people are taught the way of God, that they exercise their free moral agency to love God and keep His commandment. And we will be the overseers. But we're not to be lifting ourselves above, thinking we are so great, just because we have been in the first resurrection. Because what's going to happen to them when they receive eternal life? Well, we don't know exactly how that's going to be because God hasn't told us, but we'll find out. All right? Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. So we have love, truth, and righteousness. Those are the keys that we need to realize what we're going to do. Okay, come back here to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, and let's look at it at verse 8. Proverbs 20 and verse 8. As kings, we're going to make judgments between people, or if there are disputes, whatever it may be. All right? Verse 8. A king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters away all evil with his eyes. Well, that is if he's righteous. So that's what we need to be, all righteous kings. Now, one more, Proverbs 16 and verse 12. Proverbs 16 and verse 12, it tells us the same thing. Verse 12, it is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness. Oh, if all the kings, oh, that's something, isn't it? Especially when you realize that Solomon wrote this. And what did he do? Committed the abomination. We'll see that here in just a little bit. For the throne is established by righteousness. Huh. We'll see. Solomon forgot that. What happened to him? What a start that he had, really. All right. Verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. This is what it has to be with our lives now, because we are going to see in the final analysis that we need to grow in grace and knowledge and the love of God so that we can be prepared to run our lives now in a better way and be prepared for the resurrection. Now remember what Jesus said to all of the churches, to the one who overcomes. And he lists all their works. And as we saw yesterday, keeps his works to the end. That is, to the end of his life. All right. Now, we've seen some things here. Let's come to Psalm 21. Isn't it interesting how many of these things are found in the Old Testament? And as I brought out yesterday, isn't it a stupefying and amazing, absolutely awesome thing to understand what the religion of Christianity in this world has done to the laws of God, to do away with them? How can you do away with them? Huh? No wonder they don't believe in the return of Christ. And no wonder they believe that everyone's going to go to heaven because they're not following the Word of God. Isn't that something? Now, Psalm 21. Now think of it this way. Let's sort of think of ourselves, what it's going to be like being a king or priest or judge or ruler or teacher. All of those are necessary to run the kingdom of God and to be run spiritually God's way. Now, Psalm 21 and verse 1. The king shall rejoice in your strength, O Lord. See, as kings and priests, it all comes from God. So we rejoice in him. We do now. Rejoice in the Lord and everything that he is doing. In spite of the fact that the world is just disintegrating before our very eyes in so many ways, in government, in education, in morals, in finance, in just daily living, even understanding the purpose of man and woman has been cast aside. And you know, God is going to judge for that. The king shall rejoice in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice? What is it going to be like every day to know that in the kingdom of God is a spirit being? God has given this to us. Christ has made this possible. Now notice verse 2, because this is going to happen. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the prayer of his lips. Isn't that something? We're going to be praying to God every day as spirit beings too, aren't we? Yes, indeed. And wherever we are on the earth, think what a joy it's going to be when we have an opportunity to go to Jerusalem and we can meet face to face with Christ and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Abel and Enoch and Noah and all the patriarchs and all the saints. Look at what a great thing God has called us to. Verse 3, for you do meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold on his head. We're all going to receive a crown, a golden crown of righteousness. And remember what it says there in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, and about verse 11, let no one steal your crown. Let's go ahead here. He asked life from you. You gave him length of days forever and ever. Now that's eternal life. His glory is great through your salvation. Honor and majesty you have laid upon him so that we can deal with the people. Remember, as spirit beings, when we turn up the rheostat, as it were, of our spiritual being, we are going to shine like the sun in its full strength. What a fantastic thing that is going to be. And remember this, that the very seed of that is what God has given us with his spirit and what our bodies will become at the resurrection. Awesome. His glory is great through your salvation. Honor and majesty you have laid upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly joyful in your presence. Verse 7, for the king trusts in the Lord. And that's what we are all going to do throughout the ages of eternity. Trust in the Lord. And in the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Well, let's go ahead and take a short break, and we'll come back and finish the sermon.